The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom, and welcome to episode 22 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, a.k.a. the Brit Chief, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. This week, Tom and I will be running through some key points in the loss against the Chargers. We'll also be taking a look at the Arrowhead Pride power rankings before we look ahead to week four as the Chiefs head to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. But first, the curse of our watch meets strikes again, Tom.
It does. It does. I did warn you. I did warn you that it was going to strike again. It's a thing. It's a thing. The curse of the Arrowheads of Broad Meetups will forever be there. But the curse is not only exclusive to Chiefs performances and Chiefs losses, but it's also to my throat, because here we are, what, 2.5 days since I got back from Newcastle, and I'm still hungover. Come on. This is not good. This is the longest hangover I've ever had. And it just won't. It turns out that 33-year-old Tom cannot handle his drink like 23-year-old Tom. Who would have believed it? Come on. What a weekend.
Yeah, great weekend, mate. It really has been. It was great meeting up with people again, because this has been the first meetup since, obviously, the lockdowns that we've had over here. Mm-hmm. That we've had, the last one that we met up at, it wasn't great, the result, but the weekend is always, we can always count on the weekend being the great thing, can't we? And same with this one, really, as well. The result wasn't great, but, you know, we all had a good time. We all met up with each other again, and it just felt like old times, mate. It just felt really good. It felt really good. But you were quite happy, though, on that weekend about a particular result, though, weren't you?
Oh, I was, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you very much, Brad. You just noticed my hangover's gone all of a sudden. Now I get to talk about this. I'm going to apologise to the people that was with us watching the Chiefs game, because the result between Arsenal and Tottenham Hotspur before the Chiefs game, roughly just an hour before the Chiefs game, kind of made it impossible for me to be in a bad mood, regardless of what the Chiefs done on Sunday night. Like, I know I sat here last week and said that Arsenal results are kind of immaterial to me. Well, they mostly are, except this particular one. When Arsenal play Tottenham, it is my Super Bowl. It is my football Super Bowl. I will admit that. And Arsenal destroy Tottenham Hotspur. And all the other Chiefs fans that we were with were kind of down in the dumps afterwards. I felt like I was in the mood to celebrate still, because Arsenal absolutely destroyed Tottenham Hotspur.
It was a case of, Tom, read the room, mate. Read the room, because you after that, right? After on that night, right? I went back to the hotel because I was done. I was like, nah, that's it. Chiefs have lost. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not going to go and sulk in the room. And you were like, no, stay out. And you would not let me go back to the hotel room. You were dialed up to 11. And I've never seen you after a Chiefs loss like that before. So clearly, it was the Arsenal result that was like that kind of kept you high high as a kite, let's say.
It did. It did. It kept me going all the way till 3 o'clock in the morning. But let me tell you this, I did suffer on the way home. That 5-hour car journey on the way back, or the way back from Newcastle to roughly half hour north of London, it was tough. It was real tough. I don't know how I didn't throw up in the car. Like, it's a miracle that I managed not to stain my friend Greg's car. It really was.
I have some satisfaction knowing that you had to suffer for 5 hours.
Yeah, and I'm still suffering 2.5 days later.
But I mean, while we were out, we actually had a great night on the Andy Reid Appreciation Day, which was on the Saturday, wasn't it? And we all got our Hawaiian shirts on. We all had cocktails, we were having burgers, you name it. We were just enjoying and celebrating the big man, which had a bit of a downside on the Sunday because obviously Andy Reid was taken to hospital. I don't know what the actual reason was, but he was taken into hospital for a few checkups and everything. And it was a bit of a downer, really, wasn't it? Especially because we've had such a celebratory day the day before. Yeah. And to hear the news that Andy Reid wasn't well, it put a lot of the NFL fan bases on a bit of a downer as well, because there was a lot of fans, you know, really saying, I hope he's all right. I hope he's well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to sit here and say that I knew that news on Sunday night, because I didn't. I didn't know the Andy Reid news. So there's me saying I was out celebrating Arsenal beating Tottenham. Like, to be clear, I didn't know what had happened to Andy Reid at this point. I'd forgotten about the Chiefs.
I only knew because I got back to the hotel room and I text you, but you hadn't read it. Because you partying, mate, weren't you?
So to be clear, I didn't know the Andy Reid news until Monday morning I was obviously suffering myself. No, but he seems to be on the mend. We've just finished watching the press conferences. He says he's feeling great. Like, I'm surprised he took this long to get back to work, knowing him. Like, he seems to be one of those guys that wants to be first in, last out, 365 days a year. I bet it was killing him not being in the facility on Monday morning. But all seems well. Andy Reid says he's doing well. Coordinator says he's doing well. And Patrick Mahomes says he's doing well. So, you know, Andy Reid, you know, all he's thinking about right now is the Philadelphia Eagles. He's not mulling over Sunday. He's not concerned about his own health, is he? All he's concerned about now this week is planning for the Eagles. And that's just the type of guy that he is.
Yeah, you can guarantee that Andy Reid was creating some plays while he was laid on the hospital bed, weren't you? Just getting checked up. He's there with a notepad or something, you know, or just even drawing on the bed sheets, you know, a play that's gonna work on.
He probably looked at like the heart rate monitors and all the different pulses going up and thought, oh, that's a really good route combination.
That's a good route. That's how his mind works, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
exactly how his mind
works. we've had some recent news as well, which it surprised me. But again, as always, Tom was right with this prediction, because while we were out on the Arrowheads Abroad meetup, the watch meet that we had, me and Tom had a bit of a discussion about Josh Gordon and how he would be good for the Chiefs. And I was going, nah, you can't convince me he'd be good on the Chiefs. Lo and behold, here we are. He signed for the Chiefs. Tom was right yet again.
Making a habit of that, aren't I?
Yeah, you are, mate.
Not to blow my own trumpet too much, but I'm kind of a big deal.
here we go.
Like, I don't get why it surprises you. This move just makes too much sense. Like, have you watched the Marcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman and all those, Marcus Kemp, all those guys play? Yeah, they're okay players, but the third pass catcher in this offense is severely lacking. There's so much attention being thrown at Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill at the moment that we are so dependent on guys getting themselves open, and it's just not happening. Okay, yeah, granted, Patrick Mahomes didn't have the best game on Sunday either, but even still, we need that third weapon. We always said that the Chiefs offense was much better when Sammy Watkins was in it, regardless of what he done in terms of yards and stats. Just his presence on the field enabled Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to go to work, because defenders had to take notice of Sammy Watkins. And now with Josh Gordon in the offense, the possibilities are endless. Now, I'm not sitting here saying Josh Gordon's going to be the all-pro wide receiver that he once was. It's not unreasonable to say that, because it's been so long since he played. He's had all manner of problems. We don't know where he's at physically. But what we do know, that if we can get 50% of Josh Gordon, that we've seen in the past. It's still probably 40% better than what we've seen out of DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman so far in their Chiefs career. So Josh Gordon just contributing at all makes this offense better. And that's why it makes so much sense for him to be joining the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's the name alone, I think, is it demands a bit of respect, I suppose, doesn't it? That, or at least, you know, the attentions are going to be turned towards, you know, that side of the field as well as, you know, Hill and Kelsey's side of the field. So, yeah, I agree with you in that point.
I suppose the question is will he actually get on the field? Like, he's coming.
That's what I was about to ask, yeah.
So he's coming straight onto the practice squad. He probably won't play this week. I'd be very surprised if a receiver comes in and plays week one for an Andy Reid offense, especially what's going on with Andy Reid as well and him not being able to be in the building the first couple of days. And I'll be very surprised if he plays this week. But week five against Buffalo, why not? Why not give this Buffalo defense a little bit more something to think about than just Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? And like, we've got excited before in the past about free agent signings like Kelvin Benjamin. Like, I was an advocate for that as well. I thought he could be a difference maker in the team. It turns out he couldn't. That was really bad. We've seen Darrell Revis. We've seen Le'Veon Bell. All these types of free agents come into the team before, and some of them have been good, but majority of them have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I was quite high on Le'Veon Bell when he signed. I will hold my hand up on that one. I was after Le'Veon Bell for a good best part of like 2 years.
we were right to get Le'Veon Bell. We just got him about 4 years too late. That was the problem.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah,
we should have actually had him in 2013 when he was available to draft. Now, there's a question. Like, in hindsight, if we took Le'Veon Bell for the 2013 first overall pick, knowing what we know about that particular draft class now, would running back Twitter hate it? Or would analytics Twitter hate it? Knowing that what he was capable of?
What, you mean like instead of taking Fisher?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Probably, I don't know.
If we don't take Fisher, we probably sign and keep Brandon Albert. So Brandon Albert probably stays in the team for a little bit longer. And then you've got Le'Veon Bell. But I suppose we had Jamal Charles at the time. So, you know, he's...
There is that. He's difficult to replace, I suppose. Well, as proven recently, he's very difficult to replace. But I don't know. I mean, we got a lot of longevity out of Fisher, I thought.
Yeah,
that's fair. So I'm pretty happy with that, I think.
We're not. This isn't a draft do-over show 8 years later.
2013 draft.
I'm still angry the fact that we didn't take Geno Smith in the first round of the 2013 draft. Come on.
Let's talk about that. Let's not. No, I'll tell you what we will talk about, though. We'll talk about some key points from this Chargers game. And it's, again, we're talking about something else in this team, aren't we? I mean, last week, probably the last couple of weeks, we were talking about the defense not being all that great.
Sorry to interrupt. You said defense like an Englishman there. I'm proud of you.
Yes. Yes.
You didn't say defense. And I've got that habit now of whenever I talk about soccer / football, when I want to talk about the defense, the back four, I always say defense. And my mates that aren't into American football absolutely hate me for it. But I've just got so used to saying offense, which isn't really a word that's used in soccer, and defense, and especially the way I spell it now, because working for Arrowhead Pride, I've had to Americanize everything. I just keep missing U's out of everything. And when I'm replacing C's with S's and sometimes S's with Z's, like, or Z's.
Yeah.
It's just, I've been so Americanized since working for Arrowhead Pride that I'm sitting there going defense. So I'm proud of you for saying defense
I think it's because I actually played defense in football. Yeah. So that's probably why it slips in now and again.
Yeah. last question. Are you a root or a route guy?
I'm a root guy.
Yeah, same here.
Yes, I can't say a route. I just can't do it. I just can't say a route.
Yeah.
It just does. Because if you say a route, people look at you really strangely, don't they? They're like, look, it's almost like anger.
Yeah. All I think is, what is he trying to say? A route is like beating someone badly.
Yeah.
That's a route.
You've routed them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the route you take to get
somewhere. Yeah,
I just don't get it.
We could be here all day with the Americanisms. We could be here all day with that. Going back to the defense. So the first couple of weeks we had obviously issues, and we stripped out those issues and looked at them and analyzed them as much as possible. And we thought, right, let's watch them in this game because they're going up against the likes of Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler. And we thought, you know, is it going to be the defense that lets us down this time? Turns out it's another issue now, which I don't want to go too kind of like over the top with it, because with it being the offense and with it being the Chiefs' high-powered offense, you kind of got to give them a little bit of slack on this, haven't you? Because you know it was a bit of a blip in this game. Mahomes didn't play particularly well, even though he actually, you know, he got the touchdowns. He got the stats to back it up. He did throw some questionable passes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was clearly that no-look pass. Now, normally we're so used to no-look passes being completed and everybody just goes crazy on social media about it.
Yeah.
But this one, I think he knows in this one when it was with, was it Kemp who was throwing it to? With the no-look. And I think Mahomes knows he'd love to have that one back and actually watch it this time and actually throw it like leading the receiver. Instead of throwing it just a little bit behind him.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts on that.
I completely agree. And I've taken some heat in the last 24 hours on Twitter for this because I completely agree. Like, it was not a good throw. Should Marcus Kemp catch it? Absolutely. Any ball that hits a receiver in both hands should 100% be caught. But had he caught it, then he's probably getting lit up because Mahomes didn't protect him at all. Mm-hmm. He's not enabling him to have yards after catch. And had he led him, there's a chance Marcus Kemp could get to the end zone. It just wasn't a good throw. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's a turnover-worthy throw. It wasn't a turnover-worthy throw. It turns out it was, but it shouldn't have been a turnover-worthy throw because Marcus Kemp should have caught it. So Marcus Kemp is guilty in this, but it's still a bad throw. It's still a bad throw from Mahomes. And like, was the no look necessary? Maybe, maybe not. Like, you can argue that he froze a defender or moved the defender by doing the no look. But end of the day, we're so used to his ball placement being top, tip top that he enables players to run after catching the ball. And maybe that's what Marcus Kemp was expecting. Maybe he's expecting that ball out in front of him, enabling him to head towards the end zone. It didn't happen that way. It was through on his back shoulder while he's running across the route. And that's should be caught, but it's still a tough adjustment for a receiver to make. And Mahomes, whilst he's not completely to blame or even taking the majority of the blame, that's with Marcus Kemp. He's not absolved from blame on this one. And I think he knows that as well. I feel like he probably watched the tape and thought, what could I have done to make it a little easier on Marcus Kemp? And unfortunately, Mahomes is the victim of his own standards. He set the standards so high for himself, and he set such a high bar for himself that when he doesn't reach them, he's going to be angry at himself. And I think it's fair that we can question Mahomes. He is not perfect. This game demonstrated he's not perfect, but doesn't mean we love him any less. It doesn't mean we want him to stop the no looks. We still want him to do all of that because when he's amazing, he's incredible. But we just have to accept that sometimes when things aren't going completely great for Patrick Mahomes, that you're going to have some plays that you'd want back. And unfortunately, in this game, we probably had two.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing really to point out is he seems to be getting good protection. Yes. I think that's what I found from this game. The O-line seemed as though it did create those pockets for him. And it was almost like he was almost trusting them a little bit more in this game, where he was using that pocket and he was stepping up into it a bit more. I mean, he did that clearly on that no-look pass. He stepped up into the pocket and he had room to make that pass. But I think that was one of the big things. One of the plus points from this game was definitely the O-line and the fact that Mahomes does seem to be settling a little bit better with that, which seems strange when you've got like four turnovers in this offense. But that leads me on to the next thing, where was this not just like genuinely bad luck from the offensive part? Because you don't think there's just any bad luck at all in this, or
no?
It's all purpose.
It's just bad football. That's all it is. It is bad.
How you feel, mate?
It is like Marcus Kemp not catching that ball was bad football. Mahomes putting that ball behind Marcus Kemp, bad football. Mahomes' interception later in the game was just a bad ball. Tyreek Hill catching the ball, not protecting it, bad ball. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbling again, bad protection of the football. It's just bad football. And it's like, we're not used to it with Andy Reid teams. We're not used to them turning the ball over like this. We're so used to them being so secure and doing all the fundamental stuff really well whilst being really creative with other things as well. So when they lose their fundamentals, they're going to suffer from it because unfortunately possession is 9/10 of the law in American football. And look at the Chargers. They went for a 4th-and-9 because they knew that possession was far more important than field position. So it's just the way the NFL is. You have to look after the ball. We've all said that this year, splash defenders are going to become more and more important. So someone like Asante Samuel Jr. making a play like that is more important than maybe slowing Mahomes and Co. down. Like splash plays are the B-O-N-endo for defenses, and the Chiefs need to find a way of not shooting themselves in the foot. So I'm not going to sit here and say it was bad luck or the Chargers done this and that really well to stop the Chiefs from winning and the Chargers maybe got lucky. No, I just think the Chiefs executed terribly on Sunday. And the good thing about that is the things they've done are fixable. Like they get rid of those turnovers, they win this game. They don't turn the ball over like that in the next few weeks. They'll probably win multiple more games. So they are fixable. We've seen heavy turnover games before. When you look at the Rams game, five turnovers or something like that, 3 turnovers, was it? Yeah, Mahomes had that in that particular game, and then you come back after the bye week and went on a tear up. So we've seen it before. I'm not worried about it because the Chiefs are still executing well on other drives. They're just too many brain farts for me at the moment. Like just
brain farts.
Just get rid of them and then we'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, we sound overly positive on this, which is
it's because do you know why it's because we've had 2 or 3 days to think about it and put it into context. Where had we recorded this show on Monday when I was really hungover, this would have been awful, and I would have said, oh, get rid of Pat Mahomes, let's sign Derek Carr. No, I wouldn't have. I would have been effing and blinding and all this, but no, it's because we've had 2 or 3 days to think about it and actually realize the Chiefs turned the ball over 4 times. And they were probably a really bad pass interference non-call away from having an opportunity to win this game with one play from the 1-yard line. So that they were in this game. The Chargers bought their A game and the Chiefs were still in a position to win it. So that's why you have to look at every cloud. And I think it's being recognized nationally. And we'll talk about power rankings in a bit, that the Chiefs are still a really good team.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Chiefs are still demanding that respect. I mean, clearly in, betting terms and things, that, you know, the Chiefs are still up there as one of the Super Bowl favourites, regardless of the fact that they're 1-2 at the minute. But like what you just said there, they were still in a position to win this game. And it could easily have been the same in the Ravens game as well. You know, that we were still in a position to win that game. We had the ball in our hands. And it flies in the face of what you say normally is, put it in Mahomes' hands and we'll win the game. That's the only thing you've been getting wrong. That's the only thing that you've been getting wrong at the minute, that we have been putting it in Mahomes' hands and things have been going wrong still. But I'm sure they'll clear all those things out and iron all the kinks out of it. I think we'll get to the point where the Chiefs will just suddenly click. And like you said in a show previously, the Chiefs are a streaky team. Andy Reid teams are streaky. And this could be just the downward streak that we're having at the minute before we get up to the other side where we're hitting the mega wins, let's say.
Who doesn't want to see the Chiefs win, like, I don't know, what, 17 games in a row? Like, I'm up for that.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, let's watch the Chiefs win 17 games in a row. Or maybe they can win, like, I don't know, the first 13, lose one, then win the next 3. Maybe that's what they can do. But bad thing, like, it does happen in bunches with Andy Reid team, and we've seen it in the past. We saw it in 2019. We saw it in 2017. We saw it in 2016 and 15. Like, the losses tend to come in pairs. with Andy Reid teams. Sometimes look at 2015. Sometimes you get five losses in a row. That's just sometimes the way it happens. But we have seen that when they get it right, they can go on a tear up. And unlike in those previous years, they were really, really bad in those games that they lost.
Yeah.
Where this Sunday, although they had bad plays, they weren't terrible. And the same against the Ravens. They were really quite good against the Ravens on offense for the first 45 minutes of that game. It was only in the last 15 that they weren't great. So offensively, I'm not worried. Defensively, I think it looked better. Not great, but better. Yes, Justin Herbert had himself a game, what, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, 8. But in general, what, Chargers got to 30 points? That's not outworld, is it? Like, I would probably take the Chiefs to win, what, 11 games a year? Maybe 12 games a year if they kept their opponents to 30 points every game. Mm-hmm. I'd probably take that. I would take that. So, yeah, I'm not too worried yet. In fact, I'm not worried at all. We'll be fine.
The last time the Chiefs lost 2 in a row was 2019.
It was.
And look what happened there.
Exactly.
Exactly that. Exactly. The other thing that I just wanted to bring up before we actually hit the break is I've got this issue with Hail Marys and DPI calls not being called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been quite vocal about this on social media, and some people agree with me. Quite a lot of people agree with me on this. But there's others that are saying, well, there's different rules for Hail Marys.
Why?
And I'm like, why is there? Surely a DPI is a DPI. I mean, there was 2 players there that were getting wrestled to the ground, weren't they?
Yeah.
And there was nothing given. There was nothing called. And I just nobody can give me an answer why. I've even tweeted NFL officiating and asked them. I've said, what is it? What am I missing here? I don't know all the rules of the game or anything, but is this true about this? You know, if it's a Hail Mary, the rules are different.
Imagine I've got no answer back to you. Imagine if they come back to you. who is that official that we all hate for the Derek Johnson Titans here? I can't remember his name now. Jeff Triplett, was it?
Triplett.
Imagine Jeff if it's Triplett. Jeff Triplett sitting on the other end of that Twitter account now, just looking at you, just having a good old giggle at you. I don't get it myself.
If you got that tweet, you retire now. Wouldn't want to deal with it.
I was going to make a really bad forward progress joke there, but you know, the whole officiating for DPIs and Hail Marys, it's an odd one. Like, I think players should be able to box out. I do think players should be able to like you do on a rebound for basketball. I do feel like you should be able to box out on a Hail Mary, because you've got such a large group of people in such a small area. The idea of there being no contact is just ridiculous. Like, you want the biggest, strongest guy to go up and get it. You don't want it just like to be, oh, I've got occupied this space, so this ball is automatically mine. No, I feel like the play should be there to be made by a defender or an attacker. So if you can have a basketball rebound style box out where you can just stick your bum into them and push back and then jump up, and then they're fine. But what Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill went through on Sunday was not boxing out in any way, shape or form. It's like they didn't trust any of the other Chiefs receivers to catch the ball. So they just thought, right, how many guys can we get to attack Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill?
Literally attack him.
Attack them. So I just, for me, it's a major miscall. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, let's bring back replay for pass interference, because you know from years ago, I was not a fan of that in any way, shape or form. It's the one of the worst things I've ever tried doing. But I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I'll bring it back. But come on, refs. That how do you miss that? And it's not the reason the Chiefs lost the game. It's not. The reason the Chiefs lost the game was the Chiefs. But that's just like inept. Like, they must all sit around. They must sit around on a Tuesday or a Monday after their day off or whatever, sit around and like evaluate their own performance. And maybe they've got people who evaluate their performance. And I cannot imagine a world where Jeff Triplett on his social is sitting there allowing the officials to feel like they've done a good job on that play, because they just didn't. And if the Chiefs are in a position where they need a Hail Mary this Sunday, I am more than confident that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill will probably get a DPI call before them.
Yeah, but they should do it, because that last one there was shockingly bad. But let's not put it down to that. Let's just leave the Chargers.
We are better
alone
than blaming the refs. We are better than that.
Apart from Jeff Triplett. Now we can blame Jeff Triplett because he's retired now, so we can. Right, we'll head into a break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at the Arrowhead Pride power rankings, and we'll be looking ahead to the week 4 matchup against the Eagles.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi there, Chiefs Kingdom. Welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Tom Childs. Usual thing what we do on these Wednesday shows is we're going to be looking at the Arrowhead Pride power rankings, which were released. And this is actually the first time I've looked at them. And I'm scrolling down looking for the Chiefs, mate, and they've dropped out of the top five.
They have. They have dropped out the top five, and two right and all. There is no way that we could put the Chiefs as high as five. So where did we put them? Sixth. And they're still a good team. The Chiefs are still a good team. I'm not buying this whole dropping them down into 14th, 15th. If you want to do power rankings by the standings, go and look at the standings. That's not what we're here for. The Chiefs deserve to drop because the teams above them are simply playing better football. Does that mean that they're all amazingly better teams than the Chiefs? Absolutely not. A couple of wins and Chiefs can find themselves straight back in that top three again.
Yeah. Scrolling further down before I'm just going to look further down before we get to the top five and we can discuss those. But you've got 17 Seattle Seahawks, this week's big fallers.
Yeah, well, they're bad. That's why
they are bad. I'm surprised they're at 17, to be honest.
Trust me. No, this is a collective, remember, and done on aggregate. I did not put the Seattle Seahawks as high as 17, but I had them as low as
22. I thought you put them way down, did you?
I had them as low as 22. I just think they're a bad football team that's been getting away with basically murder for the last few years, and they haven't been really good for a long time. And I think this year they've been found out a little bit. So, yeah, too right. They're dropping as well.
Yeah. I like this note that you've got on number 31, which is the New York Jets. And it's, what is wrong with rookie quarterbacks this year?
Bad, aren't they? They are so bad.
Yeah. If this is the rookie classes that we've got for the future of the NFL, Mahomes is going to eat, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's just Zach Wilson. I was really excited about Zach Wilson, and I still kind of am about Zach Wilson, but that Jets team is cursed. Trevor Lawrence is looking good in some plays and looking pretty bad in the others. Matt Nagy's trying his hardest to get Justin Fields killed by Myles Garrett. And there's another one, Mac Jones.
Did he get nine sacks or something?
Yeah, 9 sacks, 4.5 from Myles Garrett on Sunday night. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Wow.
And then Mac Jones, who's okay, probably looking the best of a bad bunch, but that's not really saying a lot. Yeah, this rookie class is not doing a lot at the moment.
No, it's not doing a lot at all, mate. Right, okay, let's look at the top five because there's a new number one.
There is.
And I can completely agree with this because I think I actually seen some of the highlights of the other games and saw the Rams, and I thought, this team looks legit. This team really looks as though they've got it, the head screwed on this year and could be pushing for it this year for sure.
If only you put £25 on the Rams to win the Super Bowl as soon as they made the trade for Matt Stafford, eh? So I did.
Well, yeah.
I got 20 to 1. I'm really happy about that one. The Rams, they're class. They've got a great coach, great defense. Matt Stafford is a baller, and it's great to finally see him in a proper franchise. I don't know the best way to describe them, but like just a competent franchise. It's good to see Matt Stafford in that. Cooper Kupp is balling out and looking like the best receiver in the league at the moment. They're just good all over. And to be that Tampa Bay team is no easy feat, but they made it look kind of easy really on Sunday.
Yeah. And they've obviously clearly knocked Tampa Bay into second place on this one.
Yeah.
Which it sets it up nicely for the next game when they head to the Patriots. It's going to be good, isn't it? It's going to be really interesting.
Who do you want to win that game?
Oh, God.
Because you hate the Bucs, don't you?
I hate any team that Tom Brady's on.
So you hate the Bucs?
Yeah. So, and I think the manner that we lost the Super Bowl in, I think I'm going to, I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to really plug for the Patriots in this game.
Really? I want the Patriots to win too.
I think they will win as well. Yeah. I really do think they will win.
Because I like Tom Brady, and I think I think he's a baller. I really do, but I feel like because he won in Tampa, Belichick isn't getting enough credit these days, and I would love it if Belichick could just destroy Tom Brady, like with some fancy defense on Sunday, and like just shut that offense down. And we've seen Belichick defenses slow and stop great offenses down before. So I would just love it. I can't see it happening, but I would love it. I would love it if Bill Belichick's team could beat Tom Brady's on Sunday.
Yeah. In at three, you've got Buffalo Bills, which is a big move, actually, from sixth place, which was good. And then you've got Green Bay Packers. And the Cleveland Browns are still sniffing around there as well, which is interesting. They do still look like a good team in this.
Mm-hmm, they do. In regards to the Bills, is anyone arguing that they're the best team in the AFC right now? Probably not.
Not really. I mean, they did have a bit of a shaky start in the first game, didn't they? But they've seemed to have sorted out whatever that is. And looking at that, it's clearly something that can happen with the Chiefs. You know, they're looking shaky at the minute, but can clearly turns something around that quickly. It's that quickly how it can happen. So, you know, look at the Bills for inspiration, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying doing these power rankings now?
Yeah, I would love the small talk. Are you trying to chat me up? Do you want to wine me and dine me? Is this what you're doing?
I've been working on you all weekend. But yeah.
Oh, Brad, I told you, you're not my type.
Need more hair. All right, then, should we look forward? Let's put it all behind us again and look forward. Week four against the Eagles and Andy Reid's old stomping ground. Mm-hmm. Can the Chiefs finally overturn something here and go on a 50-burger run? Because I'm convinced that the Chiefs are going to go lights out, balling out in this game. But you said to me, you weren't that convinced that Andy Reid would do that against his old team.
No, I think the Chiefs will go out and score a lot of points. But this idea of the Chiefs having to go out and beat the Eagles and score 50 points is just ridiculous. Like, if they have to score 50 points to win the game, like in a Rams-style match, then 100% Andy Reid will keep the foot on the gas accelerator. And
don't talk about petrol around here, Tom.
Yeah, not today, yeah. we'll just keep the hammer down and they'll score points. But if the Chiefs are winning this game comfortably, there's no way that Andy Reid runs up the score against the Philadelphia Eagles. He just has too much respect for that City. And I just can't see it. If the Chiefs are winning like 35-17 with the, in the fourth quarter, there's just, I just can't see him say, right, go on, Pat, keep going. Just
really
finish him. I just can't see it happening.
Finish
at all.
Them.
Yeah. Little man in the corner pops up and goes, whoopsie.
I can absolutely see it. I really can. I think Andy Reid's probably just, he's been, probably had a bit of time to chill out while he's been laid out on his hospital bed, drawing up plays. And he's just thought, you know what? Let's just go for it. And and clearly, Patrick Mahomes has said that in the press conference as well, that, you know, this is the time now where they just think, right, the back's against the wall. We've just got to go for this now. And I just think, what a perfect way to make a statement against your old team, slap a 50 burger on it.
Perfect way to make a statement than beating an NFC East team. Wow, what a statement to be made. But saying that, we're sitting here saying, and we're congratulating the Bills for how well they've been playing recently, and they just went into Washington and absolutely destroyed that NFC East team. So yeah, why not? But I still reckon that Andy Reid will probably play cards close to his chest if the Chiefs manage to get a big lead. As if it's required, they will absolutely score points on the Chiefs. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Chiefs are right. Let's go out there. Let's show the world what this offense is capable of. Don't you sleep on the Kansas City Chiefs, because on our day, we are the best offense in the league. So maybe, just maybe, Mecole Hardman goes off for 200 yards. DeMarcus Robinson goes, Josh Gordon, you're not having my spot in this offense. And he goes off for 100 yards. Maybe Tyreek Hill can just sit down and chill out whilst watching Byron Pringle go for 50 and Juice Fountain go for 75 yards. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't fumble the football. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire runs for 150 yards. Maybe Trey Smith pancakes every single Philadelphia Eagle that he can. Maybe.
I'd love to see that.
The Chiefs go out and put on an offensive show. Maybe Patrick Mahomes completes a no-look pass. Maybe Patrick Mahomes catches a touchdown pass. Who knows?
Catches his own pass.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'd like to see that for sure. Is there anything that you think the Eagles can bring and slow down this offense? Or do you think that this Eagles team is just, or the defensive side, should we say, is not really something to really worry about in this game?
I can't name a single Philadelphia Eagle defender that's going to play on Sunday.
Analysis, mate. That's brilliant. I love it.
Ed Graham, didn't they? But he's injured.
Yeah.
It's bad, isn't it? Like,
it is bad. It is bad, mate. I must admit, when I was asking that question, I was thinking, God, I don't even know this. I'm asking Tom this. I'm throwing him under the bus here.
It's bad, isn't it? That we're sitting here going, oh, you should all listen to this podcast. But when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, we know absolutely nothing. Like, I've got to do 5 questions of Bleeding Green Nation on Sunday, on Thursday. So I need to do some research before I get into that one. Do I think the Eagles can stop the Chiefs? No, I don't.
Really not.
The only team stopping the Chiefs at the moment are the Chiefs. And I might not know any of their players, but no one's sitting here saying the Eagles are this worldy defense that can stop any offense. And the Chargers couldn't do it. The Ravens couldn't do it. So no, I don't think the Eagles can do it. Now, if we're going to talk about the other side of the ball, do I think the Eagles can score points on the Chiefs? Absolutely. Absolutely they can. Yes, they can. Like, Jalen Hurts he's not playing great, but he's not playing terribly either. But he's a mobile quarterback. Mobile quarterbacks should be able to beat this offense, beat this Chiefs defense, because over four downs, this Chiefs defense is just not great. Like, the average yards per play for opposing offense is far too high. They want a first down, they are getting them at will, it seems like. So if I'm the Eagles, I'm going to go with the tactic that the Ravens have gone with, the Browns have gone with, the Chargers have gone with. Just go for every single play they can, every fourth down. Keep your punters, keep your kickers off the field, and just try and play fire with fire. And if you manage to create a couple of turnovers on the Chiefs, then even better.
I've just been looking at their QB room, and they've got Jalen Hurts, obviously, Joe Flacco. Ooh. And Gardner Minshew, the Tash.
Gardner Minshew. The Steelers should have gone for Gardner Minshew, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should have, shouldn't they?
They really should have. Like,
I'm so funny. It's so funny they haven't as well. And,
let's talk about the other Pennsylvania team whilst we're here, shall we?
Yeah.
The Steelers are bad. They are so bad. Ben Roethlisberger needs to retire today.
I thought he did on that play. See that play where there's nobody around him and he threw this ball. I thought, what, did he lose his walking stick or something? It just fell over.
Oh, just like as soon as like you saw like the enactors for the Steelers on Sunday, you were like, well, okay, the Bengals are going to win this game. no chance. Like, it's just such a bad team. But yeah, Gardner Minshew, Minshew mania. Yeah, that could be fun. Like, do you reckon Jalen Hurts is the guy in Philly? Do you think they feel like he's the guy?
I don't think they're convinced totally yet. It's almost like a Tua situation for me.
Yeah.
Not completely like the Dolphins were never really kind of convinced on Tua. I know they drafted him and they threw him in there, but they're still not convinced on him. And I think if they could trade him away, they would do. And I think Jalen Hurts is almost in that kind of category at the minute. He's in the Tua category for me.
Yeah, that's fair analysis.
Yeah, it's good analysis that, Brad. Yeah.
I agree with you. I feel like if they could, if they're in a position like this time next year and. I don't know. Let's say they go really bad for the rest of the year and they end up with a number one pick and Spencer Rattler sitting there. I can absolutely see a situation where like the Cardinals went with and they scrap their first round pick and go for another one. I can definitely see that situation. I like Hurts. I think he's exciting. Mm. But do I see him as the franchise quarterback of the future for the Eagles? Probably not. Do I see him as a starting quarterback in 5-6 years' time? Probably not. There's so many quarterbacks coming out of college at the moment, like every year. Like, look at the amount of first round quarterbacks that are coming out of college every year. Like, they can't possibly be room for all of them. Not all of these guys are going to be franchise quarterbacks. And I feel like Tua, I feel like Jalen Hurts is probably in that category as well.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody else on the offensive side that you think, they could cause us a bit of a problem, especially with this defensive scheme that we've got at the minute?
I'd like to say Miles Sanders, but they're not running the football. I think they had three running attempts against the Cowboys. Like there's us saying like fight fire with fire and air the ball out against the Chiefs. If the Eagles go what they did on Sunday or Monday against the Cowboys, and they're gonna do so. I can't say Miles Sanders. Like it's a shame because I like watching that offensive line work for the Eagles. I still enjoy watching Jason Kelce for what he's able to do at his age and in being Travis's brother. Yeah, for sure, I like watching Jason Kelce play. But outside of that, no, there's like, who can I point out?
I think you're right. I think looking at the Eagles, they almost don't seem to have anything there that really can be the Chiefs' kryptonite, which has been in the last few games. You know, the running game has been very difficult for the Chiefs. That's been their kryptonite. But this Eagles team doesn't seem to have that. They're almost kind of not even matched up to the Chiefs. That's what it feels like. So I think you're right. I think there's nothing really that's blown me away, I think, in this game from the Eagles side of things. I mean,
this podcast is definitely being snippeted and put together on an Eagles fan page if we lose this game. If we lose this game,
nothing they can do.
Defensive superstars of the Eagles come out and like, do you know who we are? And it's going to be all over the fan forum. <It's
good. laughs> No, we don't know who you are. I mean, I've actually been waiting, believe it or not, for the signing their first round pick Devonta Smith to actually do something.
Yeah, he had a good first week, didn't he? I
mean, decent, but then nothing since. And I'm trying to find something positive for the Eagles side to say you've got a chance, guys. You really have. But I think. We've seen this before where the Chiefs have been backs against the wall and they've come out firing the following week. And you know, it's all cylinders are firing again. We're back into, the Chiefs territory of steaming towards another playoff. Mm. And I just feel like this game is that game for the Chiefs to really kind of kickstart this and, make sure that the offensive line gels a little bit more and the defensive unit seems to, find some way of getting a bit more confidence back. We seem to have a bit of confidence from them in the Chargers game, which was good. There wasn't many turnovers. I don't think there was any turnovers in that game, was there? But not for the Chiefs anyway. But for the Chargers game, that was a bit more of a confidence boost. I think this Eagles game is clearly going to be a big confidence boost for the Chiefs on both sides of the ball. And I think that's going to be the measure, I think, on this game. Should we go straight into who to watch?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with mine. I didn't realize that this guy played for the Eagles until I just I was just being plain stupid about Eagles defensive starters there a minute ago. Like, I somehow missed Darius Slay. But did you know that Steven Nelson plays for the Eagles now?
No chance.
He does, yeah. So that straight away is my one to watch. There's a guy that has been vocal in the past about his disdain for Kansas City and how he probably didn't enjoy his time there. I am watching Steven Nelson.
Like a hawk.
Yeah. And the fact he's a DB that wears a single number. So I don't like that at all. Go on, D-Rob. Go on, McCole. Like, who's our worst receiver that's going to line up on Sunday? Like, probably Marcus Kemp. I would love to see Marcus Kemp destroy Steven Nelson all game, because if Tyreek Hill plays Steven Nelson, then it's just a barren. If you could just line Marcus Kemp one-on-one at Steven Nelson and let Marcus Kemp beat him like three or four times, then that would make my day. I will drink happily on Sunday night.
I think I'm going to go with for the Eagles, I think tight end is going to be the key area for them in this game.
Yep.
And
isn't it funny how we always say, like, that bad quarterbacks, their best friend's always tight end? So, yeah, when we talk about a bad quarterback, the one to watch them as a tight end is because bad quarterbacks can only throw over the middle.
But, yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I'm just going to go with that. Why not? Let's just go with that. I'm going to go with Dallas Goedert.
Not Zach Ertz.
Probably not Zach Ertz, no. I'm going to go with Goedert this time, I think.
Okay, good name.
Good name.
Yeah. I don't know what you want me to say. Honestly, this is the most unprepared I've ever been for any preview show we've done in how many years? Because I'm still slightly hungover. I've had like the busiest day at work, and then you said, "Oh, we need to record now," and I'm like, "Oh, okay." I've had no time to look at any of the Eagles players. I was googling their result like 2 minutes before I come on air.
All right, another one to watch: Sua or Petta.
Why?
Analysis.
Oh, car crash podcasting from Tom and Brad right here. Here we go. And this turns out I'm going for Patrick Mahomes. I'm going for the Patrick Mahomes on this. This guy, he plays quarterback for the Chiefs. Pretty good. You might know him. I'm going to go for him. He's going to want a bounce back game. Why Andy Reid might not want to run up the score, Patrick Mahomes absolutely will. And he's going to come out firing and pick on some of those lesser known Eagles defenders and show the world once again that he is the best quarterback in the league.
I've actually gone Travis Kelce. I've gone tight ends double this week.
Oh, wow. Is that because I said bad quarterbacks can only throw across the middle to,
Yeah, I just think in times of need, in desperate need, the Chiefs need Travis Kelce. And he's going to get his cape on and he's going to make sure that we come away with the big win on this one. Should we make our predictions?
Let's do this. Let's end this before people turn off.
Exactly.
I think the Chiefs will win. I think the Chiefs will win comfortably. I think the defense probably plays a little bit better than has been in previous weeks. Not just because of themselves, but because the Eagles' offense really doesn't have that much to offer. So I'm going to say the Chiefs get to 38 points, and I'm going to say that the Eagles probably score 17. I think it will be a bit of a blowout. Like, the Chiefs are 7-point favorites, so I probably should go closer to that number because they're just bad at covering the spread right now. But I'm going to say this is the week the Chiefs do dominate a team finally on the road in Philly. Andy Reid returning home, feeling much healthier than he was last week. 38-17 Chiefs.
38-17, good scoreline. I've gone all in on this. I've gone 51-27 Chiefs.
Wow.
Statement game. I've gone for the 27 because I think that is just under 30. So it means that the Chiefs have done something brilliantly on defensive side where they've kept the team under 30 this time.
Excellent.
So I've gone with that one. So it's another plus point, another positive. But also the other positive is 51 points. That's what I've gone for.
Get the offensive average up and get the defensive average down. It's all good.
Exactly. All good, mate. That's all good. Right. Okay. that's all we've got time for this week. Hope you've enjoyed this. It sounds like we're drunk in this one, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
That's all we've got time for this week. You can listen to the Great British Chief Show every Wednesday during the 2021 season. Remember, you can also listen to more Chiefs-related content here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, which can be heard on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.